Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. We're joined by Megan Boone from MSU's Office of Career Services. And what a coincidence, just in time for Morehead State's annual career fair, the fall career fair.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about it, Megan.
Well, it's coming up. It's on Tuesday, October 7th. It's going to be from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. on the third floor of the Adrian Doran University Center. We've got a really good mix of organizations coming this year. It's an opportunity for any job seekers. It is open to the community to come make some face-to-face connections with these organizations that are coming to MSU to recruit.
It's a pretty popular event, not just with the businesses, but also Morehead State students, but also the general public. And it's something that has been growing, I guess, in popularity and continues to grow. That's the impressive part. It gets just more popular with every passing year.
Yes, and that's what we want. We want more job seekers and attendees there. As I said, we've got a good mix of organizations. I mean, if you're looking for something in the engineering manufacturing field, healthcare, there'll be government agencies there, you know, general businesses, nonprofits, retail, financial services, military branches. It really is an all-encompassing event and a good opportunity for people to make those connections that are going to lead to employment opportunities.
Well, it's interesting. You hear the side of people saying it's hard to find a good job, but then you also hear the other side where employees will say it, or employers say it's hard to find good help.
Yeah, I think it's that match of finding the right skills to go with the, you know, what the employer is seeking. And that's why I think these organizations come to the career fair, because it's hard to judge people on just a piece of paper that's their resume. So the organizations coming to the career fair like the opportunity to meet you in person. You get an opportunity as a job seeker to articulate your skills, your accomplishments, as they really relate to that organization. So, you know, I'd encourage people who are coming to the career fair, visit our website. It's morehedstate.edu/career. You can view the registered organizations there. Take a look at who's going to be there. Understand how your skills are going to be a fit with those organizations so you can better market yourself to them.
When you talk about the organizations, the number of organizations that will be there on Tuesday, October the 7th, I mean, it's going to be a pretty good number.
We've got over 80 registered right now. It's one of our largest career fairs in the past several years, so we're really excited and hoping to see those job seekers there.
Well, as you mentioned, it's a variety of different types of employers. They're looking for different things, too. Some are actually looking for full-time employees, I guess some part-time, and even some internships will be available too, right?
Exactly, yeah. For our current students here at MSU, it's a great opportunity to find out about internships, co-ops, because really to be competitive, you've got to have some related experience in the field when you graduate from college.
We've talked about this before, Megan. People will say internships, oh, that's non-paid. You know, I need to make a couple of bucks, and you know, what am I going to get out of that? But we've discussed this here in recent years. Internship opportunities are becoming more and more important if you want to get into the job field.
They are, and some of them are paid. You know, it kind of depends on the field or the industry that you're going into, but they're not all unpaid. And you're right, Chuck, it really makes a big difference.
You've seen people who've gone into internships, say, during the summer, maybe their junior, senior year or whatever, sophomore year, and later on, because they've made a good impression with that business, oftentimes they wind up getting a call after they pick up their degree and they're saying, hey, you know, we're interested in hiring you now full time.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's what it's all about, right? I mean, that's why an organization offers an internship or a co-op, to try out that employee, to get a sense of if they're going to fit in with the culture of that organization, if they're going to have the skills that are needed. So don't miss out on that chance.
We've discussed this too as well in the past, that you encourage underclassmen to attend the career fair. It's a good experience for them. I know that young people think, well, you know, when I am a junior, senior, and I'm getting ready to leave Morehead State, or I'm a graduate student, I've got another couple of years, I'll wait till then, or it's just for community members. It's not.
Right. I mean, I think it's all about practicing too, getting comfortable in a professional setting. And I watch attendees at the career fair go around and kind of sneak around the edges of the booths and the tables and not really engage the representatives that are there. you've got to practice being able to introduce yourself professionally, you know, dressing up, putting on a business jacket or a suit to attend the career fair. The more comfortable you get doing those sorts of things, the better off you're going to be when you are looking for that full-time opportunity.
Very few people have what you would call a formal interview until they actually get out of school. I mean, I know the part-time jobs I was hired for when I was in high school, I just kind of showed up. Someone said, yeah, we need somebody to work in the back and sweep up or whatever, or, yeah, or, you know, go out there and work the gas pumps or something. And they said, yeah, you know, here, fill out this application. We'll give you a call. I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot to it. Or you look like a decent guy. Yeah, we'll hire you. But it's a lot more than just that now.
And it's a lot more competitive now. I mean, you hear the stories. Are there jobs out there? Are there opportunities for people? Well, the fact that we have 80-plus organizations coming to the career fair tells me, yes, there are opportunities out there. But it is more than that. They're looking for a well-rounded candidate. They're looking for a person that can do a variety of things. And going to the career fair and, again, making that face-to-face contact is so important.
It's just not about the resume, the piece of paper that you hand to them. It's
about that's part of it.
Yeah, that's part of it. But at the same time, they want to see what kind of person you are and how you handle yourself.
They want to meet you. They want to shake your hand. They want to see if you're making eye contact. They want to see if you can communicate verbally. And they can do those sorts of things at the career fair.
What advice would you give, say, a young person who is going to the career fair and say, okay, you sold me. I think I should go. I'm a sophomore here at Morehead State, for instance. But you know, I want to make sure I do the right things and I look the right way. What types of things do you advise that person to do?
Yeah, I think having a resume in hand is step number one. Dressing professionally so you're making that positive first impression. You know, putting on a business jacket, and if you're a guy, you know, putting on a button-down and a tie. Looking like a professional rather than looking like a student is important at the career fair. And then researching the organizations that are going to be there, as I mentioned earlier. Go on our website. Look at who's going to be there. We'll give you their website. We'll give a little overview of the company. We'll tell you what majors and what backgrounds they're looking for, as well as whether they're looking to hire full-time employees, part-time employees, or interns. So you can have all of that information going into the career fair.
Do you still have a suit bank over
we
at
do,
Career
yes.
Services?
We have a free suit bank in the Career Center. If people can find something that fits, it's theirs to keep. We're just right across from Baird Music Hall. It's a little brick house. Just come in. We're open 8 to 4:30 and see if you can find something. Plus, we're always looking for donations. So if any of your listeners out there have professional clothing they'd like to donate to us, we'd be happy to receive that as well.
What about the resume? Should they have somebody who is a professional maybe take a look at it before they go to the career fair to make sure it's lined up?
I highly recommend that. Last week, we had our Resume Blitz event here on campus where we had employers kind of volunteering their time to offer advice on the resumes. And any students, any alumni, they're welcome to use the services we have in the Career Center.
You touched on it a moment ago, the number of employers, but maybe detail who some of these employers are that will be at the career fair.
Yeah, we've got some local employers that are going to be there. SRG Guardian's going to be there. Auditor of Public Accounts, which is a auditing agency out of the state. USDA APHIS Vet Service. We've got the Kentucky State Police are going to be there. Walmart's going to be there. We've got some colleges of law, some social work programs at the graduate level that are going to be there. So it really is a mix.
Well, you mentioned the graduate thing, and I think that's something we haven't really talked about, is that there are people who are going through and looking at their undergraduate degree and completing it, but maybe they don't realize that there are some great opportunities for them to go to graduate school and enhance their skills.
Yeah, we've got, I think, about 15-plus graduate programs that are going to be there. Some of them are general. You know, University of Louisville's graduate program in general is going to be there. But then we've also got law schools, pharmacy schools, physician's assistant schools that are going to be there. I mentioned social work, so yes.
It's kind of a neat thing. I think if I'm going to this, I'm also checking out my competition, too, a little bit. The people are also looking for a job like I am.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing to do. Eavesdrop on what they're telling the person in front of you and kind of check out the competition, sure.
You mentioned 80-plus places will be coming to the career fair. And I know that I've remembered in years past it's been in about the mid-60s or so, and it's kind of gradually grown. And why do you think maybe it has grown to this level and continues to grow?
I think that the organizations that are pleased with the candidates they're receiving. I think our Morehead State students and graduates are well prepared. We're drawing from the community as well, and I think the employers like that. It's kind of a one-stop shop for them. And for job seekers, I think it's a one-stop shop too. I mean, where else can you talk to potentially 30, 40 organizations in just a couple of hours of your time?
You made a great point earlier about researching some of these businesses, going online, seeing who's there, finding out a little about them, because these people not only want to question you about you, but at the same time, they want to know what you might know about them. You can ask intelligent questions, and that, I think, always impresses a potential employer.
It does. I think one of the best pieces of advice for someone going to the career fair is be able to introduce yourself. Be able to walk up, say your name, say your major,
and
say what field you're interested
that.
In. It's hard to do. I go around and do class presentations and have students practice that. It's not natural to be able to say, you know, hi, I'm Megan Boone. I'm a senior graduating with a social work degree in December. I've already got some internship experience at, you know, whatever place. That's hard to do. It takes practice. But being able to do that is really going to allow you to leave a better impression.
This is a pretty big deal. I know you do this twice a year, and it's a great service, I think, to the community and to the campus.
Thank you. We really hope to see the community members there. That's one of the reasons I wanted to come on the front page, is to make sure that community members know this isn't just for Morehead State students and alumni.
I was going to ask you about that real quick, Megan. We have about a minute left. Why do you invite community members in?
Because we see our job as serving the region and building up the region and letting the region know about opportunities as well. And I think the organizations like that. They get to see that we have a lot of talent here in the Morehead area.
Megan, thanks so much for being with us on Front Page. Always a joy.
Thanks, Chuck. Hope to see everyone at the Career Fair.
And once again, Morehead State University's Career Fair will be Tuesday, October 7th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the third floor of the Adrian Dorn University Center. I'm Chuck Meraz here on the Front Page. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in just a moment.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to the Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Today we're being joined by J.D. Reeder of Morehead. J.D., as you know, is involved with the Morehead Theater Guild, and he's doing another production of something he did back a few years ago called Dining with the Dead. This will be October 17th, 18th, 24th, and 25th. And J.D., as we mentioned, this is the second time you've done this.
That's right, Chuck. We did Dining with the Dead first in the fall of 2011. We did it only one time then and hoped for the best. We had a tremendous audience response. Over 150 people came. We were thinking we'd be happy with 50 or 60. And people have been asking for us to do it again, and so we're going to do that in October. We have four performances planned this time, and none of them will be rained out because our alternate location for the drama in the event the weather's bad will be the Rowan County Arts Center Auditorium. It's a three-part event. The drama is at 6:30 at the Old Town Cemetery, behind Reed Hall and also behind the Catholic Church. Folks will need to bring their own chairs, lawn chairs or blankets, because there's no regular seating there, of course. The drama lasts about an hour, and after that, everybody will go to the Arts Center for a nice meal, and then following that, those who want to participate can go on about an hour-long ghost walk to places around town where creepy things have happened and maybe still happen.
Well, explain the concept and how this works.
All right. This is actually a look into the history of Morehead in the late 19th century. Around 1870, a lady in the community named Abby Oxley, who had a great deal of land at her disposal, donated a half an acre of ground for a community cemetery. That's kind of quaint. The town was so small in 1870, she probably thought a half acre would be plenty of land for a cemetery to meet the needs of the community on and on for generations. There are about 100 people buried there. The city discontinued burials in the cemetery in 1901 because residential areas grew up around it and there were health and safety concerns. About 50 of the graves at the cemetery are marked, which gives us an opportunity to do research into the lives of the people who rest there. What I did was to develop a series of dramatic monologues in which about 30 of these characters will reveal information about themselves. Some of them are humorous. Some of them are poignant and very sad. It's a good snapshot into what life was like in Morehead in the 1880s and 1890s. Of those 30 or so monologues that I've completed, we perform between 20 and 25 of them because of time constraints. We want this to last just about an hour.
Who are these folks that you profile?
We have a pretty good cross-section of the town of Morehead in the 1870 to 1890-95 period. There are farmers, there are lawyers, there are doctors, there are school teachers, there are people who lived to a good old age and died content. There are people who died prematurely of all sorts of disease. There are folks there who died in the celebrated Rowan County War who were murdered. There are a couple of suicides that we talk about. It is as it is now, only it's set back 125 to 130 years or so.
You do a lot of research on this. We talked about this the last time you did this a few years ago. How much research do you have to do? Explain that to people who are unaware of that. And I guess the other part about that is there are probably some times, I would say, for lack of a better terminology, maybe you had to fill in some blanks.
That's exactly right. Since we're telling the stories of actual historical personalities, we want the information to be as accurate as we can make it. Sometimes there are gaps. The amount of information you're able to find is minimal. And when that happens, you have to be a bit inventive, but the invention arises out of details in the person's life that we do know about and can verify. With some, there's a great deal of information available, and we don't have any difficulty at all making it what it ought to be. For this production, we have several new monologues that were not included last time. We have lots of new performers, and the research has revealed new information. There's a lady that I thought was buried in the cemetery. Her name is on a tombstone there, Mrs. Mary Woolham. It turns out that she left Morehead after 1910 and went to live with a married daughter in Akron, Ohio. Lived there until 1924, and that's where she's buried, actually. She appears in our cast with some of her children, and she talks about their life here. So I included her even though she's not there, actually.
Where do you find the info about these people? Microfiche, things like that?
Yeah, thanks to lots and lots of online resource materials, particularly through Ancestry.com, you're able to access census records, vital statistics records, all kinds of family history, family tree information that helps a great deal. One of the most interesting things that the research has revealed is that the Woolham family, who's buried at the cemetery, are the ancestors of baseball celebrity Johnny Bench. One of the Woolhams' daughters, Clara, married a fellow in Morehead named Caleb Carpenter, and they moved to Oklahoma, and they were the great-grandparents of the baseball player.
Huh, that's really interesting. How do you get a feel, though, for the personalities of these individuals? I mean, you can kind of get some historical information. You might find out some things through old newspaper clippings. But getting a feel for who they are as people, how difficult was that?
Sometimes it's very easy, and sometimes it's more challenging, of course. In the case of a character named Hiram Pigman, who was in the earlier part of his life, a mild-mannered local fellow, was a storekeeper. He wanted life to present a minimum of problems, but he became involved in the wrap-up to the local feud. He was recruited to go to war, as it were, on the last day of the conflict. And he is the person who's generally credited with firing the last shot into the body of feud leader Craig Tolliver. After that, his life completely changed. He experienced a profound depression, and he committed suicide by walking into the path of a train. All of those facts are documented, and I think they themselves open a pretty good window into what was going on in his personality. He could not handle the celebrity, and he could not overcome the guilt that he felt in taking somebody's life, even though that somebody was a person that many people felt ought to go from this life into the next.
You and I were talking before we went on the air about the cast, and you have a lot of new cast members involved with this, and it seems genuinely that people are excited about getting involved with this production because it's a fairly sizable cast.
Yes, we have 27 performers, and about half of them have not been involved with this production before, and a sizable number of those who are new to this show have not been involved with the Theater Guild before. And we're very happy about that, very excited, because that's how an organization like the Morehead Theater Guild continues to flourish. We're 25 years old this year, and if we hope to continue for another 25 years, we've got to bring in new people, and we have to do that often. There's a great deal of excitement about this particular production. People enjoy not only pretending to be somebody else, but somebody else who has a real history. And, of course, it's a period drama, so they like putting on the outfits, too,
oh, yeah,
from the 1880s and 1890s.
Well, and we've talked about this as well. It's amazing to me the number of people you get that come in perhaps as novices to acting who stick with the Theater Guild and work their way through and play many roles as time goes on, and how good they get over that period of time.
Yeah, that is really, really gratifying. I've observed that just in the last couple of weeks as we've been in rehearsal for this production, how a person comes to a part with certain notions of how it ought to be, and with just a little highlighting here and a little tweaking there, how much better they can become at it and how quickly that takes place. That's a tremendous amount of fun for me as a director.
As we talked about, this is the second edition of Dining with the Dead. Again, it's October 17th, 18th, 24th, and 25th. And this is, again, performed by the Morehead Theater Guild, and this is put together by J.D. Reeder, who's our guest today on Front Page. And, J.D., if people are interested in getting tickets, where can they get those tickets, and how much will it cost them?
All right. Tickets are on sale at the Arts Center. One can call 606-783-9857 to reserve. You can also go online, moreheadtheater.org, and tickets are $20 for adults. That includes the drama, the dinner, and the ghost walk, if one wants to do that. That's for adults, and $10 for students. Season ticket holders and life members who have free tickets coming to them as a result of their membership would pay $10 for the meal.
And it starts those days at 6:30 in the evening, correct?
That's right, at the cemetery. And remember, bring your own lawn chairs or your blankets, because there's no permanent fixed seating at the performance location.
Back in 2011, you had a pretty sizable crowd to come watch.
We did. We were overwhelmed. In fact, we couldn't accommodate everybody. And this time, we're going to try to limit attendees to 60 to 65 or so, so that everybody can get in close enough to see everything and to hear everything.
Well, J.D., as always, great to have you on Front Page. We appreciate your time, and certainly best of luck with the second edition of Dining with the Dead.
Thank you, Chuck. Thanks for having me.
Again, the performances of Dining with the Dead, October 17th, 18th, 24th, and 25th. J.D., that phone number for tickets again?
It's 606-783-9857.
And our guest today was J.D. Reeder. I'm Chuck Mraz, your host of Front Page. See you next time.